Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death upon a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. The name that is above, and given him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Father, we thank you for the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Thank you that we have been able to gather here tonight to worship his name. Pastor Don does not need any introduction, but come on up. He not only graciously agreed to preach in the morning, but also in the evening as well. I am so thankful for you and for your ministry.
You're
not friend here, you're family. And we are so thankful for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I love this family. I sure do. And I love the number of people that have come back tonight. This is marvelous. I'm happy to have a couple in the ministry that are amongst our top fellowshipping pastors, Duane and Joanne Thorpe, back there with my wife, and he's a former pastor of this church, as a matter of fact, and so great to have him here. I mean, it's a special honor when a fellow pastor comes to hear you preach instead of criticize you. So that's wonderful. Now, as you heard this morning, your pastor was attending a conference to improve himself. Honor him for that. A pastor that gets out of schooling and thinks he's just it isn't worth much. And we need to keep improving, studying, moving ahead over the years, and getting together with other preachers. Most states have a preachers' association. My wife and I always attended them, unless providentially hindered, and that was rare. Not always just for our good, but for the good of all of the pastors that we got together with. And frequently, pastors' wives would come to my wife and they'd say, "We need to talk." And they bare their souls and listen to my wife. And on the way home, we usually would say, "May all our problems be little ones." Because the ministry is not always easy. It doesn't always go so wonderfully well as it's going with Pastor Justin here now. And as I said this morning, we're so glad to see it going so well. It's wonderful when family is doing well, moving ahead, and growing, and that's what's going on here. And we're so happy. I'm met some of you new ones this evening. I'm so glad for that. And it's not been easy to keep up with everybody as you've increased. But what a blessing to see it happening. All right. Where shall we go tonight? How about if we go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Does that sound familiar? Yeah? Yeah. Well, it ought to, because that's where we were this morning. We have seven things, items, characteristics of people that God hates. Proverbs chapter 6 at verse 16 says, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Let that sink in well. They're an abomination to God. A proud look is number one. A proud look. You ever have trouble with pride? I see some sheepishly admitting it. It's part of our nature because we have a sinful nature that's been forgiven, but it's still active. It's still working. A lying tongue. Notice that very carefully. We're not going to preach on that one tonight, but a related one. You'll find that interesting. Hands that shed innocent blood. And a heart that devises wicked imaginations. If you were here this morning, you recognize that one. We preached on that this morning. Feet that are swift and running to mischief. Now, I told you to pay close attention to that one about lying earlier, because now he says he hates a false witness that speaks lies. And then he that sows discord among the brethren. Tonight, I want to focus on hating false witnesses. We can get involved in that in various ways, various levels of our interaction with people. But so notice now, two items closely related that God hates, that God says is an abomination, and sadly, it's in our hearts. Number two was the characteristic of lying, and it's becoming increasingly prominent today. It's getting more and more difficult to know who in the world can you trust, because people are out there to deceive you, to lead you astray, and get as much money out of you as they possibly can by deception. Sad. But that's it. Lying, then, is such a problem. And it's easy, I'm afraid, to fall victim to it. Interesting, though, God hates dishonesty so much that he includes it in his list two times. The second we're looking at this evening. Verse 19 says, it's a false witness that speaks lies. And that's also increasingly practiced in our culture today. Sadly, as it increases in our culture, it increases amongst Christians as well. That's why it is so important that we recognize really all seven of these things that God calls an abomination to him, and we search our own hearts, deal with our own hearts to address it and get it out, get it under control in our lives. God's first hatred of dishonesty, number two in the list, blasts lies in general, whereas bearing false witness, number six, blasts lies in particular in our testimony. And we give testimony at various levels, and I want to look at those levels this evening. And God particularly hates both characteristics of the devil that should never characterize us as Christians. Learn to hate. Hate it when you find it in your own life. Learn to despise it when you see it in the lives of others as well. So the challenge tonight is simply hate false witnessing in your life. First of all, telling the truth in court. How many of you have ever been in court and had to bear witness, give witness? That's kind of what I figured, not very many. It doesn't happen often, I know that. But there's always the possibility that you will be called for some reason to bear witness to the truth. And when you are, you should be dedicated earnestly to being truthful. I've been in court two different times. One time I was in court serving on a jury. Kind of amazing that they would have select a pastor to be to be on the jury, but for some reason they did. Very, very interesting. Serving on the jury, listening to the testimony, and then deliberating the case. But we did it as best we could. The other time I was in court, I was being sued along with the church over a minor bus accident. Well, we just simply laid out the truth and we won the case. But it turned out, we found out that the opposing attorney was just known for looking for people to represent. He was known as an ambulance chaser. And so he convinced somebody, and he was more interested in himself than he was in the person he was supposedly representing. We found out that, especially in later years. Speaking the truth in court is a solemn responsibility. Good society is built on the foundation of truth. Therefore, we ought to be dedicated to it. Falsehood destroys good society. When falsehood prevails, truth and confidence break down. Evil becomes more profitable than good for a time, until all confidence breaks down and nobody can trust you, and you begin to reap what you've sown. It's inevitable that eventually that will happen, because God works in that direction. So be true to the oath you take if you are in court. Everyone who takes the witness stand in court swears to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And what's the rest of it? So help me God. Yes. You call upon the eternal God himself to be your witness that you're telling the truth, in order that the cause of justice might be served. You realize God is the God of justice? He is. God created everything that exists. God created humanity, and humanity succumbed and listened to the devil and plunged the whole of humanity into sin. God could have just said, that's it. He either could wipe humanity out at that point, or just let them all go the way that they wanted to go, and he would deal with them and send them into hell when they passed from this life. But that's not what he did. He could have, well, I started to say, but it's not true. He could have just swept our sin under the rug and said, it's okay, I'm going to save you anyway. But he didn't. No. He saved us in a just way. You see, he arranged for Jesus Christ to be joined to humanity, live a sinful life, in order that he might die as the God-man, sufficiently enough to satisfy God the Father and make it possible in a just way to be able to pass from death unto life by simply trusting in Jesus Christ. That's justice. There's no other religion in the world that even comes close to something like that. But our God did it. Sadly, many take that oath and then proceed to lie to establish their own advantage. For them, these are simply empty, hollow words. They are words that must be repeated to come to the witness stand, either to establish justice or to pervert justice. Some are so ready to bear false witness that they will hire criminal lawyers. I always find that interesting. Are the lawyers criminals, or are they just there to defend criminals? Draw your own conclusions. I have my own. We've heard of at least one lawyer, maybe more, of recent months or maybe a year or so, that perverted his abilities and reputation to let drunk drivers go for the sake of money. A lawyer would do that. Oh, God help us that we would never do that. The witness has no intent to establish truth and justice, and they hire lawyers that are skilled in getting them off of the hook. They only want to go free. Truth is no object to them. God vigorously opposes this. And so be sure God will deal with you if you're not honest. Those who lie after taking that oath defy God. They perjure themselves in a court of law, pervert justice, which is of God, and they commit wrong against the innocent, all to get the guilty released. It's an offense to our God. It's an offense to our country, an offense to our conscience most of all. When you swear to tell the truth, you pledge your loyalty to God, and then go in and lie? How sad. Those who then lie and bear false witness demonstrate to God the shallowness of their commitment and their lack of devotion to God. Always think of the implications of your actions. They offend and provoke God, who lives and observes our every thought and motive. You ever think about that? God observes, examines, discerns our every thought and motive. That is really, really sobering to me. Shame on the man or woman who has so little regard for the person of God, a man or woman who would have such a little regard for justice and the lives of others to advance their own selfish goals and ambitions. Your dedication to God ought to be much deeper than that. It would be better to tell the truth and suffer loss than to live like that. You might suffer loss, but trust God, trust Him to bless you, to make up the difference, or learn to live under different circumstances for the glory of God. I usually sell, wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself there. Would you always tell the truth, even if it hurts you? Can you honestly say you would? You ought to, you see. Tell the truth if it affected your future, if it affected a friend's future, or would you readily bear false witness? Shame on us if we do. So, hate false witnessing in your life, telling the truth in court. Secondly, telling the truth in business as well. This touches most of us. We ought to be honest in our business dealings, in our relations of a business nature, whatever it may be, with other people as well. I read of a woman who was called before her supervisor for being a troublemaker at work. She was dumbfounded, but they pursued it. They tried to get to the bottom of it. co-workers didn't believe the accusation either. Well, it turned out that another co-worker was spreading rumors, untruths, witnessing false witness against her. There's where the problem was. That ought not to happen. And we're the part of the bottom of it. Political candidates leak lies about their own their opponents. They know their lies. They're well aware that they're lies. And the lies eventually are disproved. But the perpetrators know that many will believe the lie and never figure out that the accusations were false to begin with. Oh my! Be careful when you're listening to political people. Very careful. Proverbs 19:5 says, "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaks lies shall not escape. Be sure, truth endures and is always the best policy." God blesses what he commands. Truth has God's blessing on it. If the only way you can advance is through lying, then pray that God will change your circumstances, that God will give you a greater enablement, or that he will help you to be content with your new circumstances, to adjust your life to the situation that you're living in. Truth in business works for your good, ultimately. One who has no regard for the good of others cannot be trusted by others eventually. Any supposed advantage in falsehood quickly vanishes when people cannot trust you, especially those you have maligned. What a difference when you are a person of honor that can be trusted. Truth in business works what is good for others as well as yourself. It works for the good of all involved. The good of others. That's what love is about. Working for the good of others. How could God love us when we were yet in our sin? Romans 5. Not because he delighted in the fact that we were his enemies, but because he sought our good. That's the highest love. That's the love that ought to characterize every marriage. That's the love that ought to characterize every congregation. That's the love that ought to characterize every coworker, you see. To honor them and love them. Proverbs 14:25, a true witness delivers souls. How could we think of doing otherwise? Even in our daily business, we should practice this. I think there was once in my life that I traded in a car. I normally don't do that. I buy a car, and they want the trade-in, and they give you a pitiful value for what you have there to trade in, and it's sad. But I'm very careful not to misrepresent the car in any way. I keep a careful record of the servicing of the car. I let them know how it's been cared for, promise them I can't guarantee that nothing will go wrong, but I've done my best to take care of it. And most of them decide that's probably a good thing then. All right, so hate false witnessing in your life, telling the truth in court, telling the truth in business, and telling the truth in your social relations as well. You cannot build good friendships as a false witness. You have to be honest. Tell the truth about yourself. It's easy to exaggerate about yourself. I've never made out a resume. People have already, it's just the nature of my vocation. Churches are usually after me. And so I've never had to do that. I was an interim pastor for a church, for the first church. And after about 3 months, they said, why don't we take that interim off and you be our pastor? I said, well, I think we could work that out. And still, they wanted me to candidate. So I did. And we spent over 5 years ministering there. But some of you have had some experience filling out a resume. Some resumes get overblown. They do not bear truthful witness. We're talking about witness, and people are not always truthful. You can impress people by exaggeration and total deception, for that matter, for a while. Sooner or later, it'll catch up to you. No one will care to be around you. That is the practical reason. The spiritual reason is that God hates it. Hates it with a passion. Tell the truth about others as well. Bearing false witness about yourself is stupid, but about others is just plain malicious. Proverbs 25:18 says, a man that bears false witness against his neighbor is a maul. You know what a maul is? That's a heavy hammer. And when you find, if you find out somebody's bearing false witness against you, that's what it feels like when you know it's not true. And he says, he's a maul, he's a sword, he's a sharp arrow. Think about that before you bear false witness about others. If you want to build sound spiritual friendships, then you must prove yourself genuinely spiritual as well. Sometimes we demonstrate our lack of love by telling the whole truth about someone when it's really not necessary. It's just as well unsaid and only brought up when it's important. Surely then, we show our lack of love by bearing false witness. God, who loves mankind enough to send his Son for us, despises any bearing of false witness against others or about anything that would destroy others. So pride heads God's list of hated things, but falsehood receives double mention. Surely then, we ought to hate it with a passion. Hate lying in general and hate false witnessing in your life. Telling the truth in court, telling the truth in business, and telling the truth in your social relations as well. Will you determine you will tell the truth in all that you do, no matter what? Young people, tell the truth to your parents. Be honest with them. Obey them. Do what they tell you to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for the justice you exhibit. The justice even in arranging for salvation, something the religions of the world have no understanding of at all. And so they develop religions based upon human effort, human glorification. But you're the God of justice. Our country has departed so much from justice because they've departed from you. Lord, help us. Help us to have a keen sense of that violation of justice in our own hearts, even as we spoke of this morning, in order that we might be found faithful to you and to those around us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.